From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo gives three instructions to ministries on El Nino mitigation. Indonesia nominates as member of the UN Human Rights Council for the 2024-2026 period. The Philippines says three Philippine fishermen dead after South China Sea ramming by unidentified boat. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo gave three instructions to his ministries and related agencies concerning water supplies during El Nino that struck Indonesia. The three instructions were relayed by Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar after attending a limited meeting on El Nino mitigation led by the President on Tuesday in Jakarta. The three main points of his instructions are first, conducting a comprehensive mapping of the issue at hand, second, focusing the strategy to ensure water availability, and third, to continuously check water supplies at the food production center regions. President Joko Widodo also instructed the ministries to anticipate the failed harvest potential due to depleting irrigation water and to ensure water supplies for the public needs. President Joko Widodo opened the Inacraft on October 2023 product exhibition at the Jakarta Convention Center JCC Jakarta on Wednesday. In his remarks at the event, the President said that the Inacraft exhibition was getting better and more interesting.
Saya melihat dari tahun ke tahun pameran Inacraft ini semakin baik dan semakin menarik.
I see that from year to year, the Inacraft exhibition is getting better and more interesting because it is one of the largest craft product exhibitions in Southeast Asia. I consider the Inacraft exhibition always consistently displays the best creations, and these creations are all curated and selected strictly and selectively. The President appreciated the implementation of Inacraft, which is initiated by the Association of Indonesian Handicraft Exporters and Producers, ASEPHI, which provides space for young entrepreneurs and artisans targeting Z generation to display creative works. Inacraft 2023 will be filled with 772 booths. The Indonesian Handicraft Exporters and Producers Association targets that the event runs until October 8, 2023. Inacraft on October 2023 will reach retail transactions worth 50 billion rupiah. Indonesia is running again its candidacy as member of the United Nations Human Rights Council for the 2024-2026 period. In an online press briefing on Tuesday, the permanent representative of the Republic of Indonesia to the UN, WTO, and other international organizations in Geneva, Switzerland, Febrian Rudiat, said that the election of members of the UN Human Rights Council will be held in New York, United States on October 10, 2023. Febrian Rudiat explained that Indonesia's candidacy is a form of Indonesia's commitment to promoting human rights.
Kalau kita terpilih nanti, kita akan menjadi anggota.
If we are elected, we will become members of the UN Human Rights Council for the 2024-2026 period for the sixth time. The reason why Indonesia is nominating for the UN Human Rights Council is a form of Indonesia's commitment to continue to be active in various multilateral forums, including on the issue of promoting human rights in a national, regional, and global framework. Permanent representative of the Republic of Indonesia to the UN, WTO, and other international organizations in Geneva, Switzerland, Febrian Rudiat explained, in the election of the UN Human Rights Council, Indonesia carried the theme Inclusive Partnership for Humanity, which aims to encourage a spirit of dialogue with all stakeholders in dealing with issues which are faced. He added, representing ASEAN, Indonesia's position in the Human Rights Council is both unique and central. Indonesian lifter Rahmat Erwin Abdullah secured a gold medal and set a world record in the men's 73-kilogram weight category at the ASEAN Games in Hangzhou, China on Tuesday. The Olympics bronze medalist successfully executed all three lifts in each category and posted a combined 359 kilogram with 158 kilogram in the snatch and 2001 kilogram in the clean and jerk, smashing the 2022 record of 200 kilogram set by him. Before his appearance in Hangzhou, the 23-year-old lifter had managed to break a world record in the clean and jerk category in the men's 81 kilogram division at the 2023 IWF World Championship in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, last September. The Sak Madarita Kusuma Dewi won a gold medal in the women's speed climbing event at the 19th ASEAN Games in Shaoxing, China on Tuesday, while her teammate Rajia Salsabila secured bronze for Indonesia. Dewi clocked 6.364 seconds in the final, taking down China's Deng Liguan, who recorded a time of 6.435 seconds. The Language Development and Cultivation Agency of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology has chosen 92 languages that will be targeted by the Local Language Revitalization RBD program in 2024. The agency's head, Aminuddin Aziz, said that the number has increased compared to 2023, when 72 local languages from 19 provinces were covered by the program. According to him, the increase in the number of languages and the coverage of the RBD program in 2024 is inseparable from the awareness of regional governments regarding the importance of preserving mother tongues. For that reason, the program, which has been running since 2021, is receiving optimal support. He added that his side will continue to implement the 2024 RBD program using three approaches, namely Model A, Model B, and Model C. Three Filipino fishermen died after their fishing boat was rammed by a still unidentified foreign commercial vessel while crossing the South China Sea, the Philippine Coast Guard said on Wednesday. The incident occurred on Monday while the boat was transiting waters 85 nautical miles or 157 kilometers northwest of the disputed Scarborough Shoal, it said in a statement. 11 crew members survived after the boat sank. Tensions around those waters have recently flared up after the Philippines said it removed a 300-meter-long bow buoy barrier installed by China's Coast Guard near the Scarborough Shoal, a prime fishing spot and one of Asia's most contested maritime features. China has rejected the Philippine version of events over the barrier, while the United States has weighed in with support behind Manila and vowed to honor its treaty commitments to defend its treaty ally if attacked. The Philippine Coast Guard did not elaborate on the incident or provide details of the vessel it said had rammed the Filipino crew. An alliance of nations said on Tuesday members would raise $12 billion to protect coral reefs from threats such as pollution and overfishing, but experts warn the funding would only be a drop in the ocean unless broader climate risks are addressed. The International Coral Reef Initiative, ICRI, said it would secure public and private investment to help conserve and restore coral ecosystems, which sustain a quarter of the world's marine species and more than a billion people. Coral reefs have come under increasing pressure as a result of rising marine pollution, destructive coastal development, and fishing fleets. But they are also suffering because of rising sea temperatures, which cause coral to expel colorful algae living inside them, a phenomenon known as bleaching. ICRI said it aims to secure the future of 125,000 square kilometers of shallow water tropical coral reefs and double the areas under effective protection by the end of the decade. That was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's commentary will discuss FIFA opens up to the possibility of Wuhan high-speed railway as a mode of transport for the 2023 U17 World Cup. Listener, on Monday, October 2nd, Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the operation of the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway. The train service is named WOOSH, an acronym for Time Saving, Optimum Operation and Reliable System in the Indonesian language. The train, which connects Jakarta and Bandung in West Java, currently has a track length of 142.3 kilometers. Using the latest generation CR400AF train, it has a maximum speed of up to 350 kilometers per hour, placing it as the fastest railway in Indonesia and even in Southeast Asia. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo said that the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway is a new thing for Indonesia. The president hopes that the Indonesian people will not be afraid to learn and try new things in developing a number of mass transportation projects, even though unexpected things, difficulties, problems, and even imperfections could arise in the middle. However, before it was inaugurated, two representatives from the World Football Federation FIFA, Marcin Thomas Stanowski and Mike Wettstein, had tried to board the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway. As reported by Kompas.com, both of them looked satisfied after carrying out a trial trip from Jakarta to Bandung and vice versa. FIFA then opened up the option of the railway as a mode of transportation connecting two of the 2023 U17 World Cup host cities, Jakarta and Bandung. Chairman of the All Indonesian Football Association PSSI, Erick Thohir, appreciated FIFA for opening up the option of using the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway to connect two venues in the host cities. With a travel time of 36 to 44 minutes, he said it can speed up mobility and save time. Minimizing time is indeed one of the keys to the smooth running of the U17 World Cup in Indonesia. However, the organizers should not focus only on the fast mobility of players and organizers between the two venues. FIFA certainly will also pay attention to other aspects related to the competition, including the safety of players, officials, and even spectators. Therefore, the organizers can work together with the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway operator to arrange the train journey. Thus, from 10 November to December 2, 2023, all U17 World Cup participants can board the high-speed train safely and without obstacles. Meanwhile, the general public can still board this Indonesian new mode of transportation safely, comfortably, and pleasantly. And listeners, that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on October 4, 1931, when the World Animal Day was celebrated for the first time. This commemoration began in Florence, Italy in 1931 at the Convention of Ecologists. On this date, animal life in all forms is appreciated and special events are planned in various locations around the world. October 4 was chosen as World Animal Day because on that date, a banquet was held in honor of Francis of Assisi, a nature lover and protector of animals and the environment. Let's move it on to October 4, 1957, about the launch of Sputnik 1. The Soviet Union made history by launching Sputnik 1, the world's first artificial satellite. The launch of Sputnik 1 at the height of the Cold War shocked the Western world. This was the beginning of the era of human space exploration and sparked the space race between the United States and the Soviet Union. Sputnik was launched from Baikonur Cosmodrome in the Kazakh SSR. We end today in history on October 4, 2004, when Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Yusuf Kalla were announced as the winners of the presidential election. July 5, 2004, Indonesia made history for the first time holding direct presidential elections or pilpres. In previous periods, the president and vice president were elected by the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR. On October 4, 2004, the General Elections Commission announced the winners of the direct presidential election, namely Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Yusuf Kalla.
aku berlari saja, menghindari semua yang menimpa. Takkan ku biarkan diriku terus terlena dalam hayalku. Saat aku tak berdaya menghapuskan semua cerita, ku berharap terlalu banyak sedang dirimu terus berlalu. Hatimu terlalu cepat berubah, sedang diriku terus mengharap. Penyesalan di hati, sanjak hanya ungkapan hati, tak cukup sudah untuk diriku. Oh, aku hancur lantak bagai debu, aku telanjang tanpa kasihmu, bibirku kering laksana.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on leaders of Indonesia and Malaysia parliaments discuss maritime cooperation, Nusantara capital city, and ASEAN. Indonesian House of Representatives Speaker Puan Maharani met with the Malaysian House of Representatives leader Tan Sri Dato' Johari Abdul in Kuala Lumpur on Monday. The meeting discussed cooperation strengthening from the two nations, one of which is in the maritime sector. Quoting Indonesian House of Representatives website dpr.go.id, Puan Maharani highlighted the importance of cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in the maritime sector, mainly because the two neighboring countries are surrounded by sea. The cooperation aims to eradicate illegal fishing as well as maritime and land border delimitation. She supported the finalization effort of the Treaty on Maritime Delimitation in the Sulawesi Sea and Malacca Strait. Puan Maharani ensured that the Indonesian House of Representatives, through its monitoring function, will keep tabbings on progress from the instrument. On the occasion, Puan invited the Malaysian Parliament and Indonesian Parliament to fight for Myanmar crisis resolution in line with the agreed resolution in the 44th ASEAN Interparliamentary Assembly held in Jakarta recently. She also mentioned the role of Indonesia and Malaysia as the founders of ASEAN. Puan affirmed the importance of Indonesia and Malaysia relations as the anchor in creating peace and security stability in the region. Therefore, Puan hoped the two nations could manage various issues through bilateral mechanisms and forums. The meeting between Indonesian and Malaysian parliament leaders also discussed the cooperation in Nusantara capital city development and strengthening the palm oil industry and maritime sector of the two nations. Quoting Bayantara, Puan Maharani explains that the Malaysian House of Representatives leader said, "Malaysia is very interested in participating in renewable energy, hydropower and infrastructure in Nusantara capital city." Puan explained the meeting also discussed the importance of Indonesia and Malaysia strengthening the cooperation in the palm oil industry sector. Therefore, Indonesia and Malaysia can give proper explanation and clear arguments when facing European countries. Meanwhile, Malaysia House of Representatives leader Tan Sri Dato' Johari said Malaysia supported Indonesia's choice in moving the capital city from Jakarta to Kalimantan. According to Tan Sri Dato' Johari, the capital city translocation will strengthen the two nations' relations in trade and other sectors, including tourism, population, and food security. Tan Sri Dato' Johari further explained that the meeting also talked over exchanges of academics, researchers, and think tanks from universities in the two countries. He affirmed that ASEAN nations must be strong in the research sector so it can help solve the current global food security issues. The two parliament leaders also talked about innovation applications. Tan Sri Dato' Johari explained Indonesia and Malaysia share similarities and natures that must be explored with new innovations, including artificial intelligence. He said the ASEAN revival cannot be stopped So the nations in ASEAN, including Indonesia and Malaysia, must accept the situation and move ahead by preparing the young generation with knowledge and science in accepting the ASEAN revival. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Menoreh Mountains are a mountainous area that stretches across the western region of Kulon Progo Regency in Yogyakarta Special Region Province, east of Purworejo Regency and parts of Magelang Regency in Central Java Province, as well as being a natural boundary for the three districts. Menoreh Mountains are known in history as the defense base of Prince Diponegoro and his followers in the Java War or Diponegoro War in 1825 to 1830 against the Dutch colonialism. Geomorphologically, the Menoreh Mountains area has a complex landform. The complex physical condition of the Menoreh Mountains area of the existence of endogenic and exogenic processes that work on various rocks to form the landscape that exists today. Viewing from Borobudur Temple, visitors can see the shape of the Menoreh Mountains, which is believed to form a person sleeping on top of the mountains, namely Gunadharma, who is considered the architect of Borobudur Temple. The sunrise is a natural attraction that you can enjoy from the top of the Menoreh Mountains. The highest peak in the Menoreh Mountains is Mount Ayam Ayam, which has a height of more than 1,021 meters above sea level. Mount Ayam Ayam is administratively located on the border of Purworejo Regency and Magelang Regency. The Menoreh Hills, especially in Kulon Progo, are as popular as the Gunung Sewu Geopark in Gunung Kidul and the Gunung Batur Geopark National Park in Bali. Even now, several natural attractions in the Menoreh Mountains have become favorite tourism destination for both domestic and foreign tourists. It is crowded with visitors, especially on national holidays and weekends. The Menoreh Mountains have amazing natural charm. The area is dominated by hills, followed by forests, canyons, rivers, waterfalls, caves, and lakes. It is also rich with a diversity of flora and fauna.
Perasaanmu padaku.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Kota Padang, which means Padang City. So stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Beristirahat di Serambi Masjid. Beristirahat di Serambi Masjid, which means rest in the mosque porch. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sortauli, Chris' friend in the vlog community. They take a rest and admire the architecture of the Great Mosque of West Sumatra. Let's listen to the conversation.
Unik sekali bangunan Masjid Raya Sumatera Barat ini.
Bagaimana kalau kita beristirahat di Serambi Masjid?
Boleh, tapi fotokan saya dulu ya.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of today. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Bagaimana kalau kita beristirahat di Serambi Masjid? Bagaimana kalau kita beristirahat di Serambi Masjid? Which means, what if we rest in the mosque porch? Bagaimana, which means how? Kalau, which means if. Kita, which means we. Beristirahat, which means rest. Serambi, which means porch. Masjid, which means mosque. Perlu, which means need. Unik sekali, which means very unique. Bangunan, which means building. Masjid Raya Sumatera Barat, which means the Great Mosque of West Sumatra. Boleh, which means may. Fotokan, which means take a picture. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, bagaimana kalau kita beristirahat di Serambi Masjid? Bagaimana kalau kita beristirahat di Serambi Masjid? Which means, what if we rest in the mosque porch? In the sentence, there is a verb, beristirahat, which means rest. It has the same meaning as melakukan aktivitas istirahat, which means take a rest. To state an activity, you can add the prefix ber, like in the word beristirahat, which means rest. For example, berlari, which means run, and berjalan, which means walk. Now let's listen to the other examples of verbs which mean doing activities. Berlari, which means run. Murid berlari menuju kelas, which means the students run to the class. Berbisnis, which means do business. Pengusaha itu mulai berbisnis sejak masih muda. Which means the businessman has started doing business since he was young. The Great Mosque of West Sumatra in Padang City has received an international award for mosque architecture. The mosque doesn't have a dome, but has a roof typical of the Minangkabau Gadang traditional house. The architecture of the mosque symbolizes a blend of traditional and Sharia values. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Unik sekali bangunan Masjid Raya Sumatera Barat ini.
Bagaimana kalau kita beristirahat di Serambi Masjid?
Boleh, tapi fotokan saya dulu ya.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Sebuah tembang pilihan. Semoga bisa meredam segala kerinduan.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's music corner presents a song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Gemu Famire. Gemu Famire was composed by Nyong Franco in 2011. This song was originally composed as a welcome song for guests who come to Maumere, East Nusa Tenggara. Besides being a song, Gemu Famire is also known as a dance like Poco Poco dance from North Sulawesi. Nyong Franco incorporates elements of gong to bring out the local wisdom of culture. The lyrics of the song mention Maumere as a city full of songs. The chorus of the song Gemu Famire also invites the listeners to dance and spin around. Well, listener, let's dance with the song Gemu Famire by Nyong Franco. Enjoy!
Roposai. Yeah.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bye.